Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are very excited for today's guest, indeed.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird.
So, Jonah, today's episode is all about trying to act cool and being cool and stuff like that. And I have a question for you. Do you think today, Jonah, as an adult, you're cool?
Wow. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I think as like a kid version of Jonah looking at me today, I would think that I was cool because I can, you know, stay up as late as I want. I like, I can play guitar.
Right.
I played in bands. You know, I have a lot of records. So yeah, I think pretty cool overall. I think I would think for the most part. What about you, Vanessa?
Yeah, I like the way that you thought about that. Would child me think that I was cool today? And I think the answer is yes, because I'm an actor. And I think like being an actress, yeah. As a really little kid, I would put on a lot of performances. So getting to keep putting on performances and make money for it, I think I'd be like, okay, this absolutely rocks. Also, I have a lot of dresses, not to brag, but I own so many dresses from various things I've done throughout the years. And so I think I'd be excited about that. And I own several pairs of high heels too, which was something that I always wanted as a kid. So
yeah,
I think between the dresses, the high heels, and the acting,
I had some chocolate when I came home. I didn't have to ask anyone. I just
that
ate it.
Rocks, you know? Jonah. Honestly,
bought it with my own money. So yeah.
Oh,
so yeah.
That's cool. Oh, okay. I want to add something to how I would think I'm cool. I have a TV in my room. Now, this has only been going on for about 6 months. I don't know if I've talked about this on here, but we weren't allowed to have TVs in our room really growing up, although you sort of broke that rule by having like a really weird, broken black and white TV that you...
It wasn't broken at first.
Okay. But then it turned into sort of a radio.
The short version is I had a black and white, one of those like really old TVs with the dials and like the curved kind of screen. And one day I spilled a bottle of NyQuil in the top of it and it shorted out the picture part, but the audio still worked.
Yeah.
And I have these distinct memories. I slept on a futon on the floor for some reason in my bedroom.
I'm
not sure why.
I know what you're going
to say. And I remember being a teenager sleeping on the futon and just listening to NYPD Blue on my TV that had no picture and just like using my imagination.
I 100% remember you were listening to NYPD Blue specifically. Well, I have a TV in my room now, and I'm on season 6 now of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which a couple 20, 25 years late, but I am like, love, it's having a TV in my room, watching Buffy, I'm like absolutely living my best life.
Have you tried just listening to the audio with the picture off?
I should try that. It's probably better for my eyes.
It's good. Yeah. You don't get the blue light. Vanessa, do you want to go ahead and introduce today's guest?
Introduce today's guest and see if he thinks that child him would think he's cool today. Our guest today is a writer and actor who's worked on some of your favorite shows, including Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, The First Lady, and your actual favorite show. I love that for you. And who is a writer on the upcoming Netflix show, No Good Deed. Please welcome my friend, Zora Bikangaga.
Hey,
Zora.
Nailed the pronunciation.
Okay. We were talking before we started recording. I was trying to make sure I had the correct pronunciation, and somehow it led us into making fun of Jonah. And by us, I mean me and how he pronounces things.
Pecan Gaga.
And I said Jonah would say that wrong, but actually the word that Jonah says wrong is cashew.
I don't say it wrong. It sounds normal to me when I say it, but yeah, like I said, you and my wife, Vicky, tend to just point out every time I say it that it's funny.
Because we say cashew like normal people.
Right.
Well, it's a... I heard somebody from the East Coast recently pronounce the word raccoon is raccoon. Which I thought was so funny because it sounded like very like Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Raccoon.
raccoon. I don't know if it's, you know, because I grew up on the West Coast, but I thought it was really funny. But also as someone that has, you know, parents that have like really thick accents, it's like I try not to shame anyone for pronouncing...
Right, you know, right.
Too That's much. Cool of you.
Like, Yeah. I mean, I it's funny. It's always funny to me, but like, yeah, you know, because people just, you know, they're going to pronounce words differently.
I'm imagining this person being from, like, did you say they're in New York?
they're from the East Coast, yeah.
So were they like, we got a lot of raccoons? Wait, no, that's kind of Philly, but
it's a little Philly, yeah. Raccoons in the John.
Wait, what's a New York accent? It's like, how do New York? I keep thinking Philly.
Well, like coffee, you know. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah. It's, I grab my coffee and I saw a raccoon.
I grabbed my coffee and I saw a raccoon.
That sounds a little Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy.
Jonah.
It did.
You know, Jonah's the inspiration for Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy. And I didn't realize it until all of his friends were like, you're going on SNL doing an impression of Jonah. And adult friends.
Amazing. Because truly one of my favorite.
Oh, that's so nice, Zora.
Of all time. Truly.
So, Zora, what about little Zora looking at you today?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What do you think he's thinking?
Cool.
First of all, you guys are cool. I would have thought you guys were cool. Just, you know, in that, Vanessa, you always have, like, you're always telling me about a thing that I don't know about.
Really?
Which is a marker of a cool person. Like, it's always like, you know, some like clothing store or like hat that I should get, you know.
Wow, so that's
like a distinct marker of a cool person.
Wow, thank you so much.
And Jonah, your mustache is aspirational. So
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I would think that that's cool. But
Zora, you have a cool mustache now.
That is true. You do have a cool mustache as well.
It's taken me several decades to achieve this. Several. And I'm here, but thank you. But it took me a long time.
Listen, they take time.
Yeah, they take time. So to answer your question, I think that if I were to see myself now as a kid, if kid me was looking at me, I would automatically be like, he's as tall as Michael Jordan. He's cool. He's 6'6".
Yeah, because you, yeah, that
you're
right 6'6"?
Away.
I'm 6'6", yeah.
Yeah, so Jordan is 6'6", too?
Jordan is 6'6", and also Kobe Bryant, who I wanted to be, you know?
Yeah.
So I would have just been fixated on how tall I am and, like, just wouldn't stop thinking about it. So
yeah, yeah. Okay.
Outside of anything. But I don't know. Like, there are other aspects where I'm like, I don't know if... Am I still trying to sort of achieve this thing that I wanted to be, you know, as far as, like... Do I look enough like Tupac? I'm going to get a nose ring, like, you know, probably in a month or so. And so that's like the last piece of trying to look like Tupac.
What about, do you have like a cool TV or speakers or anything like that that might have made Child Zora think you were really cool?
I have a TV that I think Child Zora would think is cool because it's, you know, like it's bigger and you could watch sports really well on it. Like it's very
awesome.
Like, sort of like built for sports. So I think Child Zora would think that's cool. Which, Joni, you were making me laugh so much describing the fact that you listened to NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's how people used to like listen to like radio dramas, you know, like that's very old timey, you know what I mean? Like people would just like sit down by a radio and just listen to a program.
Yeah. You got Jimmy Smits, Dennis Franz. I mean, you know what's going on. Yeah.
Was Dennis Franz the short guy?
Yes.
Okay.
He was always mad. And then there was like an episode that was really controversial where like they showed his butt or something. And it was
I kind of remember
it
this.
It was like a really huge deal. Like people were like, you can't show that on network TV. And like,
do you think that was his butt though?
I don't know. I've never really researched it. But I think it was very controversial at the time. That show was pushing the envelope. I think maybe they swore. Like now I feel like you can swear on like every channel. No, it's like no big deal. But back then it was like a huge deal.
Mm.
Well, and also just Dennis Franz, like this is, you know, all love to Dennis Franz. We're huge fans. He's not like the hot guy on the show. So I also think it was sort of shocking to see his butt because, and I don't mean to linger on this too long, but like, it wasn't like a sexy move that they were doing to get viewers. It was like, why are they doing
this? I think it was, I don't remember. I haven't thought about this in so long. I think it was because that show was trying to be like really raw and like, this is like real. This is, you know, New York. This is like, this is, you know.
Uh-huh. If you, yeah. Get in. If you want to watch a real Rosh, we're not going to show you a hot person's butt. We're going to show you Dennis Franz's butt. And if you can you handle it, you wimps.
So the controversy was like, it was more like him.
Like I don't know. I couldn't see it, right? So I heard about this part later, I guess.
I do remember, because I didn't watch it as a kid, but I remember seeing like the previews for it, like the promos, and kind of having that reaction of like, why is the, like, okay, this guy's the star? Like, yeah. This is the guy that you're showing in the promos and, you know, sort of bragging about like Emmys and stuff. Like, I was always like confused, like why they led with him, but maybe that was just me being shallow and not thinking that he was cool.
Yeah. There was also a woman on it who was really beautiful. And I remember being fixated, and then she got her own spinoff show. Mm. I'm having a tough time thinking of her name. but she, I remember as someone who had curly hair that would often straighten it, I remember being like, she sort of would go, she would toe that line too, where she would like sometimes straighten her curly hair and sometimes wear it curly. And I remember being like, first of all, someone has to be professionally straightening her hair, which that is now I know with TV, like someone does your hair. So mystery solved. But it just, I remember I always like appreciate, even though I straightened my hair, I always wanted people to wear their hair curly because it made me feel like I could wear my, anyway.
That's cool.
The point is, bored everyone for a minute about this woman.
No, that's, it's curly hair.
I grew my mustache because of Dennis Franz.
Really?
Really?
No, but I was just trying to make you feel better about your...
Thank you, Jonah. Olivia just sent us an article called How NYPD Blue Broke the Naked TV Rules.
See? Yeah. See, wow. I remember this. Yeah.
Okay.
That is a deep cut. It just, it seemed so adult to me. Like my memory of NYPD Blue, it was like...
Yeah.
It was like that. And for whatever reason, like Mad About You just seemed like so adult. Like it was just like, that's a show. That's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what show I've been watching from that era that just got at all six seasons just got at Amazon Prime is Northern Exposure.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah. My wife is out of town.
There's a lot of moose motifs.
Yeah. In the intro, mm-hmm. there's a moose walking through the town, okay. But my wife is out of town so I can watch whatever I want. So I'm like, oh, I got to get in all the Northern Exposure I can. And
is it good?
It's such a weird show, and I almost don't want to talk about it too much because it could be like a whole other episode, because I know this is more of an NYPD Blue podcast.
Right.
But yeah, it's like this, the protagonist is doctor who has to go to Alaska, and then his contract basically says he can't leave, so he's got to like just live in this remote town in Alaska as this doctor, and it's such a weird show.
Yeah.
I definitely remember the moose part of it, but also like being attracted to the woman who, like thinking that she was like really pretty and being like, why am I leaving this episode on? Like, I don't like this subject, but I keep watching this woman.
It's like an adult. It's like kind of like makes you feel too. It's like a comedy, but it's like clearly made for adults. Cause like there's all these references to him being like this Jewish guy from New York. And there's all these kind of like inside jokes about
weird.
It. Stuff you would not. But I feel like as a kid, you just watch TV made for adults because there wasn't as much stuff for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it on at around the same time as, meaning like maybe in succession with the show that was Jennifer Love Hewitt and another kid and they lived in Hawaii with their dad had red hair? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I thought you were going to say Party of Five, but
no. Before Party of Five?
This was pre-Party of Five. This was like probably one of Jennifer Love Hewitt's first acting roles. Jonah, you definitely know this show. I feel like you would watch it. Olivia, can you look up Jennifer Love Hewitt's IMDb? It was called like Way Out There or something.
They lived in Hawaii?
They lived in Hawaii. And I also think they had to move there for something with the dad. And it was like a brother and sister living in Hawaii.
Vanessa, I think you might have made the show up.
No, it's real.
You should pitch this.
It was very Northern Exposure-ish. The Birds of Paradise.
Okay.
Okay. I don't remember the show.
Olivia,
sure,
can you find
it.
An image of it to show to Jonah? Because he definitely...
Birds
is spelled B-Y-R-D-S. I think because that's how their last name was spelled.
Mm.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty catchy if you think about it.
It's a good title.
Do you remember that at all, Jonah?
Is this Seth Green as the other kid?
Maybe.
That's surprising because I mean, Jennifer Love Hewitt was...
I think it is. This is definitely...
Yeah. And I said the dad was a redhead guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. And you know, Seth Green, sorry, because I'm watching it right now. Really, really important character on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Also in the movie Can't Buy Me Love.
Is he like a baby in it?
He's like a very, very young brother, I think, if I'm misremembering. You could look it up, Olivia, but he's in one of those like 80s movies, and I'm pretty sure it's Can't Buy Me Love.
Wow.
Wow.
I always associate him with those Rally's ka-ching commercials.
Me too. I thought that was his first thing. Yes. And it wasn't.
I'm right. Yeah, he's in Can't Buy Me Love. He plays Patrick Dempsey's like, he's like six or something, and he's at the dinner table. I was watching it recently, and I was like, Seth Green is in this? What?
Wow, I never knew that.
That's crazy. Also, just to say as like a side note, isn't it crazy how Patrick Dempsey went from being like the nerd in Can't Buy Me Love to like being McDreamy in Grey's Anatomy? He made such a transition.
And kudos to Grey's for like being like, you know who we're going to make hot?
Yes.
We're going to bring this guy back and he's going to be fucking steamy.
Yeah, yeah.
What if they brought in Dennis Franz?
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Yeah, you know what? We're going to bring Dennis Franz and you're going to like his butt. It's not going to be like him. It's going to be like, ooh, him. I love that.
But you know, like they really did that. Because if you think about the other kind of nerd from that era was John Cryer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he went on to do 2 and a Half Men. He's still like kind of the I mean, I haven't watched a ton of episodes of that show, but still kind of like the uncool guy.
For sure. He's
still successful, but like.
Yeah, he's like Charlie Sheen / Ashton Kutcher is like the uncool sort of brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then now he's in a new show called Extended Family, where he's like still friends and co-parenting with his ex extended family.
Right. Right.
And he's playing like the uncool ex-husband next to Donald Faison, who's very cool. Donald Faison's an absolute legend.
Donald Faison and
John Cryer has always been nerdy.
And also, don't you feel thrilled? Because don't you think that he and Zach Braff are making so much money on those? They're doing, what is the commercial they're in for, phones or something?
Yeah, some kind of, it's on every 5 seconds. Oh, it's
T-Mobile. T-Mobile.
Yeah, T-Mobile.
Yes, 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 yes,
so
yes, yes.
So I always am always, okay, I'm perplexed by like the rules of using television duos and people that are known to be like of another property.
Right.
And then they're together doing their shtick in a commercial. Like, how are you allowed to, can you do that?
I think you can. I think it's like, I think if they were nice, they could have reached out to Bill Lawrence and been like, hey, we got this offer. I hope it's cool with you. But I think because they weren't using their names, like their character names from Scrubs, and also because it's been so long, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a crazy story? I was at this party, this holiday party, and this guy came up to me and he was like, I was in a T-Mobile commercial with you like years ago, because I was in a T-Mobile commercial once.
Okay.
I don't think I made that Faison.
that Seth Green, ka-ching.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think I made that money. It was really Joel McHale was like the star of the commercial. And then like I was in the commercial too. And this guy came up to me at this party this year and he was like, technically last year. And he was like, I did this T-Mobile commercial with you and you were so nice and you were really supportive. And I just really want to thank you. And he's Jake from State Farm. He plays Jake from State Farm. And I was like, what? I was like, well, now you're the king of commercials. Like you're so good in those commercials. And also like, he probably is making that Donald Faison money. Okay.
A couple of two things.
But Kevin Miles is his name. We should have him on this podcast. And I was like, and now you're like, probably he's doing so great and he's probably again making that really sound.
I mean that's wild. That's wild because he's truly one of like the TV spokespeople of our generation.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Really. I mean, and like is in cool, funny commercials and is great in them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. Kudos to you for you know, being nice to an up-and-comer that ended up becoming honestly a black legend at this point.
That's what let's I would say.
Let's be real.
Yeah, let's be real. Okay, well, we're going to go to a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back with Zora Beacon-Gaga. And we're back. So, Zora, today we wanted to talk about trying to act cool when we were younger and I thought we could kick off with a story that you told me, and it's pretty incredible. And, you know, you were a writer in the I Love That For You room, and such a great writer. And that's why, you know, we had you in the room. You were so wonderful. But part of the reason you were such a great fit for the show, aside from being a brilliant writer, is that the main character, my character, and I Love That For You, has sort of this lie that she keeps telling until it goes too far. And you had sort of something like that that you did to kind of make an, well, why don't you tell us?
Yeah. I mean, I brought it up in the interview, which I was like, oh no, they think I'm a liar now. And
No. We were chances. Like, this is incredible. He has to work on the show.
Oh, thank God. It just like, you know, it was such a comfortable interview. I was like, oh my God, I was nervous beforehand because I was like, oh my God, I'm such fans of all you. But then it got so comfortable. Like we're friends. And so I remember just sort of spilling out the story, not expecting to tell it and not expecting to connect it to the show material. And then, it was such an easy connection. But then after I definitely was like, oh no, like they think that I'm a sociopath and and I'm a big liar. And they're like, oh, we're not going to hire this guy. But anyway, I'm glad that I did. But to tell you this, you know, just the abbreviated version,
totally.
I went to college, first day of college, thought it'd be funny to prank my new roommate by doing a thick Ugandan accent for like a few minutes, you know, just on a dare from my high school friends.
Right. I forgot it was a dare from your high school friends.
It was a dare from my high school friends. It was just like this voice that I would put on to like make my friends laugh and just prank, you know, like drive through window people and servers and stuff. Just like dumb shit in high school.
Oh, I used to love to do accents, like try and do British accents, you know, and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it was probably more convincing. But yes, go ahead.
Well, and it was like based on my dad, you know, mostly, and also coming to America. It was like this cross between like, you know, Prince Hakim and my dad. And so it was just like this thing of like, oh, you should prank, you know, your roommate for like a couple of minutes and it'll be hilarious. And, you know, I met his family and then, you know, I'm meeting my RA and I'm meeting, you know, the people in the hallway and like,
and you're using this accent
and I'm like, you can't get out of it. And so like it ended up lasting, you know, for the day and then the next day and then for the entire first semester, it was like, I couldn't get out of this accent.
And all your teachers and everyone thought you were from Uganda and that you had
Everyone thought that I was from Uganda. And again, like I didn't have this concept of like what college life was going to be like. And so I just didn't know how quickly you meet people. You know, you're just like meeting people so fast.
Right. Right.
Especially that first day. It's like you're meeting all your best friends with people that are going to become like your best friends that first year. And so I was just this person. And then, you know, I didn't expect to become such a notable person, you know, like I was like, oh, I'm going to like be, you know, like a first year at the school. But then they're like, he's from Uganda. Like I just was way cooler than I thought that I was going to be. Like I just didn't expect any of that to happen. And of course I was like very alluring and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm getting all this attention. And with my professors, it was like, they wanted to like hear my opinions on stuff like in class, you know, like in like world cultures, you know, they're like, oh, like Zora, like, what do you think about colonialism? And, you know, like that kind of shit. So it was hard to get out of.
Yeah.
It was very, very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. What made you decide to get out of it? And I kind of remember this, but I want you to tell, like, how did you do it?
Well, so I did this prank like a year before Facebook dropped, right? So there was like no way to sort of like
look you up. Yeah.
Research. You can't, and if I kept doing this, like I could have been grandfathered in as like this person, like on social media. You know what I mean? Like it was like you couldn't look anyone up. And so when I guess like became this character, you know, like this guy, at a certain point, at the end of the day, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like these people think that I'm from Africa. And then as I was getting to know people, it just became, you know, like any sort of 80s movie or, you know, like I Love That For You. Like it's, you can't break that trust that you've already sort of built in these people that you really like and that love you. And so I remember I got like really close to my roommate and like really close to the guys on my floor. And, you know, I got close to this girl, you know, that I didn't expect to meet, you know, and she was, it was like that first year, like freshman year kind of relationship situationship where we weren't like physical together, but we just stayed up all night talking about music and like the world and shit. It was all like endorphins. And she was certainly like putting me like on a pedestal and kind of idealizing me in this certain way. Cause she was like this black woman that grew up in Baltimore. And like, she's looking at me like I'm this like African prince. And I'm like looking at her like, oh my God, you're like Ashley from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like that's what you look right, like. You know what I mean? Right. I had this like, this sort of idealized version of her. So we weren't really looking at each other realistically. It was through rose colored lenses. And so anyway, I just, after a while, I felt so not only guilty, but there's a loneliness in being surrounded by people, but no one knowing who you are, you know, especially like in this place where there was like no one to talk to. Like I remember I had my friend from high school, one of the guys that like dared me because he didn't believe me. You know, he was like, you're not doing this. I'm like, I'm doing this. And so he came and stayed with me for the weekend. But part of it was like, I need to connect with somebody that knows
who you really
because,
are. Yeah.
Because I'm forgetting who I am. I'm like going, I feel like I'm going crazy. And I need someone to witness this to know that like, I'm not in this dream world and I've become like this person. And so he came and he was just laughing his ass off the entire time. But then it just got like really deeply lonely and guilt ridden. And I remember, you know, sort of like coming out to like my roommate first, cause he was my closest friend.
Yeah.
But I was sort of still doing it in a prankster way, like where like I walked in, I remember he was like studying and I walked into my dorm room and I was like, yo man, you know, any of my honeys call for me? Cause this was like back when you had like dorm phones.
So yeah.
Leave voicemail. And he like looked at me crazily and I was like, how was my American accent? Was it a good accent? You know, and he's like, dude, that was crazy, man. That was like such a crazy, like sounded like you're from America. and I said, well, what if I told you that I am from America and you know I'm from Healdsburg and I'm not really from Uganda. And he looked at me honestly like he didn't, like the world had turned upside down. Like he just truly looked so confused and lost and he was like, I gotta get out of here. You know, I gotta go for a run. And he went for a run and he was gone for about an hour.
Wow.
And he came back and he was like, it makes so much sense. Of course you're not from Uganda. Like you would always go to the laundry room, you know, to talk on the phone and you're always just speaking in the hushed tone and like, oh my God, it's like, oh my God, look, you have a yearbook like under your bed. Like it was all sort of like piecing together for him in this Kaiser Soze way. And he was like, okay, first of all, he was like, fuck you. But second of all, that was hilarious. And I'll only forgive you if you do the same thing you did to me to like all our friends in the hallway. Like you need to do that like accent thing. So they came in one by one, like our close friends in the hallway.
Oh my God.
And I would, you know, and I was like, what's going on, man? Like, what's good? You know, like I would talk in an American accent and they all reacted in different ways. Some of them were like, what the hell? Like, you know, and some of them were like, this one guy just started laughing hysterically. Like he couldn't stop laughing and he couldn't even speak. He was just laughing the entire time. And so it became this thing, like my sort of gesture to the guys that I became closest with was that they would be in on the prank for at least like a week before I would come out to the campus. And so they were in on it, you know, and we would be in the dining commons and people would come up to me like, oh, you know, like they used to call me like the prince. Like that was like my nickname.
Right.
Like, and so they're like, oh, the prince, you know, I'd be like, hey, man, you know, I would do the accent and they would just be fucking laughing. And then I remember like sort of revealing like my identity to Angela, the girl that I got really close with. And she had a very warranted reaction. Like she got so mad at me and she was like,
yeah,
she was like, she said, she was like, you even sound like a white boy too. And she like stormed out of the room, which I don't know, like not whatever, white. Like she was 19 years old. But that was like her dig at me, is that I sounded like a white boy.
But it's like, not a
whatever. I was like, okay, fine. She's mad. She's saying words that maybe she doesn't mean. But she disowned me, and we fell out. And the happy ending to that story is that years later, like, she reached out to me. I'm talking about, like, this was maybe 7 years ago. So we're like deep into adulthood. And she hit me up. She was in LA and we like met up for coffee. And she was like, I was really mad at you. I was really fucking mad at you for years, you know? And then at some point, like, I thought about it and I was like, that shit was hilarious. Like, that shit was funny. You know? And I was like, yeah, it was funny, right? And she's like, well, you still lied to me. So we still have this dynamic where we still hang out, and she's like, you know, married now and all that. But like, she still gives me shit for lying to her.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is such an incredible story.
And I haven't done anything like that since. And the funny thing is, like, you know, it did feel like this 80s movie, but I ended up transferring out of that school. I transferred to Seattle Pacific, like, after that, just because, like, how do you top that year?
Right.
College? It was so intense. It was so intense. It's like, you can't top that. And so I ended up transferring to this liberal arts school in Seattle. And I remember, like, not even thinking about, like, there's no way I'm going to do the accent. I'm not going to do the prank. And then I got there and I show up to orientation, and like, there was this thing in my brain that was like, do the accent, like, do it, like, do it again. And I was honestly, like, so close to doing it again, because it was like, that was so fun. And lo and behold, the first people that came up to me, the first people that I met at the school, were these two guys from Uganda.
Oh my God.
Ken and Simbi and James and Simbi. And they're like, hey man, you know, like, we're from Uganda. And I was like, this is the universe being like, Don't do it, bro. And so thank God that happened. But isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
So crazy.
Yeah. The brain. It's funny. It's a funny, funny place.
It's an incredible, I see what you're like. There is something so fun about, like, putting on this thing and getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was like, everyone was so impressed and so excited about, like,
you know, similar to Joanna, you know, and I love that for you. It's like, you're being treated completely differently, or in this way that you want to, and that you feel like you deserve, you always should have.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I should be this cool. Like, totally. I should be this popular. You know what I mean? Like, these are all the things that I've wanted, you know,
I was going to say, like, I even, you know, in high school, everyone knew, like, I was, for anyone who hasn't seen it, watch it. The show, I Love That For You, is, like, sort of inspired by my life, and is about when I had leukemia as a teenager, but I was diagnosed in ninth grade. And then, you know, throughout high school, everybody knew that I either had it or was battling it or had survived it, you know. And so I was sort of, like, associated with it. And then I went to college, and it was like, nobody knew that. And I was like, everyone's treating me like I'm normal, and this kind of sucks. And I remember using it. Like, I remember a couple classes where there was this one class I had to, like, write an, I had to email the person. And I definitely was like, my experience having leukemia in high school, like, blah, 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 blah. And then I, like, got into the class, and then I was like, I don't want to do this class. But I remember, like, in two different classes, and I don't think I did either of them, because they were, you know, if you have to write a email or, you know, contact the teacher personally to get into the class, it's probably kind of a hard class. And yeah, I didn't really have time for that, but got in. No, there was another.
This is Penn, right? I
mean, this is Penn. This is Penn.
Yeah, there was another to get into one of these classes,
kind of journalism class that I tried to get into. And then it was like so much work. And I was like, sorry. But I remember kind of dropping it with people. And then, of course, the whole time I was at SNL, everybody knows but like, it's like, you want to have this special thing to, like, make you cool and make you, like, you know, unique. And when people don't know that, when you don't have it, even though I would say this about, like, Zora, you don't need, you're such a great, cool, interesting person without, you know, being, you know, American, but, like, it is hard to know, you know, think that about ourselves.
Well, thank you. So, that's very sweet. It's taken a long time, you know, embrace that. But, like, But it is this thing, you know, also like where it is an insecurity thing, but then it's like this thing of like deeply wanting people to know like who you are, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it's like I obviously had like a different journey in high school where I just felt like no one really sort of like knew who I was. And I didn't really know because I had these African parents and I was in this town where there's like no Black people, you know, and I was like sort of ostracized in this weird way that I didn't like understand. And I was like, there's something that's disconnecting between the way that I'm treated and the way that I see myself and like who I am.
Yeah.
And so like going and becoming this like the prince, right? Like it was a way to sort of act out how I felt like I should be in this way, even though like I wasn't being who I was, like in a way, like I was able to like be more of who perhaps I really was inside.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes
sense. Yeah. It's really interesting. And I think the technological aspect is so interesting too. Like how difficult that would be to do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because someone would just Google you and see a million things.
Yeah.
It would be psychotic now. I mean, you'd have to like create.
Make a whole page.
You'd have to like, really commit to that story.
Like take some of like, you know, my like cousin's pictures from Uganda and sort of like Photoshop me in and, you know, me being on this like dirt road and shit. Like it would be way more psychotic.
Right.
Be a lot more work too. Yeah.
For sure. Zora, are there things that you remember doing when you were younger, when you were in school, to act cool? And like, that's, I guess, the whole question.
For sure. Well, so I was like fixated with, because I grew up in Healdsburg, which is this like small wine country town, which is super bougie now. But when I was a kid, it was like no one knew where it is. It's, you know, there's not that many Black people there, you know, like it was like me and this kid, Ben Jackson, who was adopted and like, there wasn't a Black family. There was like another Black family that was like Jehovah's Witness, but they homeschooled. So it was truly like me and Ben Jackson. And so like, I just was so fixated on like Black people on TV, you know, cause like I had like my family who were from Africa and that's like a very specific, but I was like, I needed, I don't know. I just was like so desperate to connect to like that type of American culture because I didn't really know it growing up in this African household. So I was obsessed with the Fresh Prince, you know?
Like yes.
Pre-slap Will Smith.
Pre-slap.
And he was everything. Like he was like he was funny. He was like cool. And so I just remember like emulating everything about him and like obviously like just like any literally any Black person that was on TV was it for me, like rappers just acting like the opposite of just this African kid who lives in
Hillsborough. Right. What do you think you did to sort of emulate them? Like were there specific, like, I know Jonah was really into Criss Cross and he and his friend Chad once went to the mall with their jeans on backwards.
Mm-hmm. So I thought LL Cool J was cool.
Yeah.
I did the backwards pants thing.
Yeah.
That was you had to do it. I remember being like maybe second grade. So it was a little, you know,
so
like
cute.
But I was wearing them backwards. That was actually the first concert that I ever went to. I saw them at Great America in Santa Clara.
God.
Wow. How was that show?
It was amazing. I remember every like moment of it. It was like there were like kids on stage like rapping. We're just like, oh my God. Like we own this place.
Who did they perform with? Was there other bands on the bill? No.
I can't even remember if it was, I just remember them and being like, oh my God, these are the coolest kids I've ever seen on this entire planet. All dressed up. Every kid had the backwards clothes and we're just all like, jump. It was, anyway. But that's, I definitely did that. And then I remember being really into like LL Cool J, thinking like he's cool and rolling up one pant leg.
Yeah.
Right.
That was definitely something that I emulated and just like shaving my head. Like I shaved my head because I wanted to look like Tupac, like, just an amalgamation of just all these people who I wanted to be like wind, like a lot of like windbreakers because of the Fresh Prince. Like you always had like a cool windbreaker on.
That's right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just like stuff like that.
Yeah.
but also just tragic because I was doing it all in a way that was just so forced.
Well, how could you not, though? I mean, Jonah, I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but Jonah got really into, he and his friends in a really weird way when they were in like sixth or seventh grade, got really into wearing designer brands. But the brands I'm talking about specifically are Jerbo. Like everyone had to have Jerbo jeans and Guess. Like a lot of Guess.
Z Cavarici was a big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the most like kind of ridiculous way, judge each other on like having the coolest.
Yeah, this was, I want to be clear too, this was like a short-lived phase.
Short-lived. It made a real impression on me, which is why I think I talk about it a lot.
Yeah, it was before I got into like punk rock and music and like,
yes,
this was like the farthest thing from my mind soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone got into it and then, yeah, I felt like I didn't have a lot of that kind of stuff. Like our parents wouldn't really buy it for me. And so I would have like the same outfit I'd wear every day.
Did you have like the Guess overalls?
I was going to say the overalls were really big.
I remember that.
I don't think I ever had them. You know what I do remember? I remember mom had some Guess jeans and I wore them to school one day. I was like, this is perfect. Cause like for some reason I would like wear my parents' clothes a lot.
You would like wear some of my clothes too because you were so skinny and you could like,
for some reason it was cool to wear everyone else's clothes. But my dad had these big like kind of like plaid shirts I would wear. My dad's a bigger guy than me, especially back then.
Yeah.
So I'd wear these shirts that were huge on me and I would wear, my mom had Guess jeans. I was like, perfect Guess jeans. But then someone was like, oh, the question mark's red and like the men's it's supposed to be green.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And so that was like very, I got kind of called out for that.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
that's
interesting. The overalls, wearing one strap down with the overalls or both straps down. I mean, that was where it was at. I never really had overalls. I always wanted them though. Did you have any?
I had overalls, but I remember like wanting the Guess overalls desperately, but not having access to them because Healdsburg was so, it was like relatively rural, you know, like we didn't have like a mall that had Guess. So I just remember being like, I want Guess jeans. And my mom was like, they don't have a Guess here. So like, you're going to have these.
Yeah. You're not going to get.
Take these Jordache.
Yeah. I remember I had shorts overalls and I got two pairs at Marshall's. One was a plain, one was solid colored and one was striped, you know, it was sort of blue with a white pinstripe. And I wore them all the time. And of course I didn't wear both straps up because I'm not a freaking dork.
of course.
I would wear one strap down. And I remember being like, this is so, you know, I've made it, basically.
Yeah.
Did you ever cuff? Did you guys cuff the jeans?
I was never into cuffing. I could never get it to stay. And it was like, I just wasn't for me. What about you? Did you ever cuff?
French cuff, right? When you like make a little pleat.
You sort of, I remember like, you kind of fold the end.
Yeah.
And then you roll it up.
And then you roll.
And then you roll it up. I don't know if that's...
It's so funny. I don't know if this is a West Coast thing. All of the stuff you're referencing, there was something you referenced earlier too. Our cousin Mia, our cousins who grew up in Ukiah, our cousin Mia taught me about like all of this stuff. And she'd be like, you have to French cuff your jeans.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, and rolling up one pant leg and stuff. Like she did all that stuff in Northern California and... I remember like trying to do that because I was like, Mia does this. So I have to like figure out how to do this. Like, but I remember the cuffing was really cool.
It was cool. My sister was born in Ukiah, by the way.
Really?
Wow.
She was born in Ukiah. Yeah.
How old is she?
She is 34. She's born in.
Oh, she might know her cousin, Lauren. It's a really small town. We'll sidebar about this,
we'll
even though
I'm we'll sidebar. But yeah, Ukiah is a whole vibe. But
yeah,
I guess maybe it is a West Coast thing. Your cousin would definitely know about Miller's Outpost.
What is that?
Which was like a store. So Miller's Outpost was like the store to go to in, you know, like middle school, right? Like where they had all like the baggy jeans. So like you would go there to buy these like Anchor. They were called Anchor Blue. That came in extra baggy. You can buy them as a size, baggy or extra baggy.
Wow.
Okay.
And so you would just go, like, I remember buying like size 40 jeans.
Yeah.
As a middle schooler, getting one of those.
In middle school?
In middle school, like seventh grade, getting one of those belts that look like they're like sort of flat and like fabric. It's not like like a leather belt, but it's
I know
like
what you mean, and they sort of slide
they slide and they sort of clasp on. And so I remember getting those and just pulling it as tight as they could be and cuffing the bottom and truly looking like a crazy person.
I mean, once Jonah did get into punk stuff, we've talked about this 1,000 times on here, but he was so into JNCOs and would truly look like he was floating down the hallway. Just the biggest bottoms on his jeans that you could never see his feet.
It's just them just being all just like covered in dirt and just me tripping over them. Yeah. And like just the worst. Just and so then, gross.
And then the cuff would come undone for those of us that cuffed. And then so you would just be dragging them.
Yeah.
Because they're too big. So like you would have to replace them because they would just get all ripped at the bottom because you're a seventh grader wearing 40 size jeans. They're too big.
They're too big.
Yeah. My only jeans thing was, to me, the coolest jeans that my friend Lissy would go, she and her sister Shauna would go to New York with their dad every once in a while. And they would go to like thrift stores and and they would get used jeans.
Okay.
And they were so cool because they had like some holes in them and people had worn them before. And I remember being like, Lissy's jeans are the coolest. And then one day I went to Lissy's house and her sister Shauna was like, these are like old used jeans of mine if any of them fit you. And I took like 3 pairs of used jeans and then I'd go to school and be like, everybody better fucking bow down because I'm wearing these absolutely cool used jeans. And like, I just felt so cool in them. And I actually, they'd probably be so tiny on me now, but I'm so sad I don't have them anymore. Because there was like one pair in particular that I was like, I'd wear them all the time. And actually, you know what else is funny about that I just thought of? Our grandma, Jonah, Grandma Evie, had some like old Calvin Klein jeans she gave me once.
Ooh,
and I was like, really? These are not only used, but they're like used by my ancestor. And these absolutely rock. And they were really nice jeans. And those I also wish I still had.
Well, don't you guys think it's crazy that it's all back now? And yes. Not only that, but like people wearing the vintage stuff. It's like the older it is.
Yes.
If you unearth those old Calvin Klein jeans, like there would be gold.
Yeah.
You know, like right. It's so, it's true. I was in Glendale and I ran into these kids, these like truly like they were like, I don't know, like ninth graders. And one of them was wearing JNCO jeans that looked like they were from 1996.
Oh my God.
Like, no, they were so big and it was weird. It was almost like looking at like a portal, you know, in time, not just because just that age. And I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to see kids.
Yeah.
In those like, you know, like essentially like they look like parachutes.
Yeah.
On their legs.
It's so crazy. I mean, I know that's like also Jonah always has the experience of seeing people in like $500 band t-shirts from like, you know.
Yeah, it's so weird when you go to like, if you go to like Hudson, New York or something, you go in some boutique, they're like, this Bon Jovi shirt is $400. And it's like, it's so bizarre. This like thrift store kind of aesthetic is now like so expensive. And it's like,
so expensive.
For rich people who like don't want to go to a thrift store and look through all this stuff, they can just walk in and be like, yep.
Yeah.
That's like so curated.
Yeah.
And there's something a bit self-righteous about it in that, and I don't mean to shit on this because it's good to like sort of not be wasteful, but there's this thing of like, we're not wasting. Okay. Like we're buying vintage because we're not adding to the trash island.
Right.
In the sea. And it's like, okay, but also like who could afford this? You know, like this like Polo Ralph Lauren hoodie, you know, from like 1998 is $400. Like, get off your fucking high horse and maybe reduce the price a little bit and also be green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Zora, honestly, when we're on the subject, is everyone a curator now? Like, is there any kind of, I get if you're curating a museum or something, that's your job. I get it. But it's like, okay, if you put together a playlist or hung a t-shirt on a rack, are you really a curator?
Are you a curator? Like, it's settle down.
Yeah. Settle down.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Zora Beacon-Gaga.
Hey.
And we're back. Well, Zora, are you ready to play a little game with us?
Absolutely.
This is a sort of newer game of ours that Jonah has titled...
It's called Congratulations, You Played Yourself, Product Edition.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Okay.
This is a new segment. I think we've only done it once before. We discuss 3 products that were discontinued in 2023, and we pick one of them which we'd like to bring back. In other words, which of these corporations completely played themselves? I guess what I'm trying to say here is if you took away a product that we want to bring back, then as a corporation, you have played yourself.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little convoluted.
I just want to hear Vanessa say, congratulations, because you played yourself.
That's very nice, even though it's Jonah's favorite phrase. But to one of these companies, we will be saying, congratulations, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I can kick us off. This is also, by the way, taken from an article from CNN Business. So
yeah,
just to
so
give CNN
legit.
Business some props. Okay. So in 2023, Pepsi got rid of Sierra Mist, the lemon-lime flavored soda. And it had been around for 24 years. It was replaced by something called Starry. It's a new lemon-lime soda that, quote, gives people a choice in an area that's been dominated by one brand for years. Starry has more citrus flavor and is more true to fruit and aromatic. And so,
than
yeah,
Sierra
it looks
Mist,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, than Sierra Mist. And Sierra Mist launched in 99, but never really made a dent with Sprite. Sprite has been doing really well. Sierra Mist isn't. So they're relaunching Starry, getting rid of Sierra Mist. What do you think about this, Sora?
Well, it's hard to compete with the behemoth that is Sprite.
Right.
Yeah.
It's such an institution. Okay, I was confused when Starry came out and I saw the commercials. So
you know
way,
about Starry. I hadn't even heard about Starry.
Well, so they play Starry a lot, like during basketball games, because I do think that there's something about like lemon lime soda that is targeted like towards like black men.
Okay.
It's a thing. A lot of black men
really
Sprite. I can't explain it.
Okay.
It's just a thing. And I don't know if, you know, it's whether it's chicken or the egg, but they're always throwing it at me.
Okay. Got it.
I feel like my entire life. So I saw the commercials a lot for Starry and I was like, this is weird. This is a weird drink. The mascot looks weird, but Keke Palmer is in the commercial. And she's sitting courtside at a game, and a player becomes like an anthropomorphized version of like lemon lime drink, and she kisses the drink. It's a weird commercial, but I like Keke Palmer, so I wasn't mad.
Love
at
her.
You know, so I'm like, okay. But I ultimately think they're playing themselves because it's a stupid mascot and I was confused.
Well, wait, because you might think that one of these other brands is playing themselves more. So wait,
oh, wait
to decide.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I hear you.
Sorry.
Okay, so got it.
Learn of the game.
No, it is confusing. It's confusing. But you know, we appreciate any mention of a corporation playing themselves.
Okay.
That's right. That's kind of the whole point. So
I just really wanted to shit on Starry.
No, it's fine. It's understandable. Vanessa, do you have any thoughts on Starry, Sierra Mist?
I hadn't heard of this, and I'm also surprised I haven't seen that commercial because I'm such a commercial person and I love watching commercials and then either, you know, kind of loving them or hating them. Anyway. I'm shocked that Sierra Mist hasn't made more of a dent in Sprite's profits because
yeah.
I feel like it's such a famous drink.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, obviously they're coming in big with an ad campaign and hopefully that works for them. But to go from Sierra Mist as such a known brand to Starry, I don't know. I don't know if they played themselves, but it looks like they might have.
Yeah. I agree with both of you. Yeah, Starry sounds like a generic like Walmart brand of lemon lime. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I think Starry is going to last like 2 years and then they're going to go back to Sierra Mist or something. And maybe this is part of PepsiCo's, you know, bigger plan, you know, who knows? I mean, I would not put it past their CEO, Raymond Lagarda. I mean, this guy... Okay. Guys,
he's Lagarda dropped the ball on the logo. Should we bring up the logo because it's stupid?
Please.
It's
I wish you would.
It's
can
dumb.
We see it, Olivia? Will you bring it up? I got to see this.
By the way, I googled the CEO and the article was an interview with him talking about how he doesn't think Ozempic is going to cut into his sales for potato chips and soda. And it's like Don't get me started, this guy.
Again, we love to just, especially Jonah loves to burn CEOs on here. And I go, hey, Jonah, how am I ever going to get hired for a commercial again? Okay.
Roast them. Roast.
Sorry. Yeah. Lemon lime. I see. It looks
Wait, but there's like a person.
Oh, there's one there's with like a person in it?
Or it's not. It's like a character. Like a.
Oh, they have like a little. Like a little line person, or
yeah. Unless I'm misremembering, but I just remember being like looking at a thing and being like,
"I wish I could have sat in those like marketing meetings where they're like, we need a new lemon lime. Sierra Mist isn't working. What's the title? Outer space star?
There
star,
it is. Like,
yeah, you know.
Oh,
how,
it's
you
almost
know.
Like a little M&M.
Yeah,
A little M&M person, but instead of that, like the M&M, the little M&M characters, it's a little. Person that looks like an M&M, but
an M&M wearing like a little suit, a little
green and yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah,
being like, oh, I'm lemon on the inside and lime on the outside. Right, and the other one's like, oh, I'm the opposite. Stupid.
But I'm like,
at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of sugar and artificial flavors.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get into this next product that got discontinued in 2023. Which is McDonald's McCafe Sweets. So the apple fritter, the blueberry muffin, and the cinnamon roll are gone. McDonald's discontinued its selection of McCafe baked goods consisting of an apple... Okay, I just told you. They got rid of those in July, marking the end of a 3-year run for the sweet treats. Zora, what do you think about this
discontinue?
Move? Yeah.
You know, I feel like McDonald's has a strong... established game of sweets with the McFlurry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, and
but less of a breakfast.
Well, it's in terms of like sweets and stuff. So, yeah. But I don't know. Like, I haven't been to McDonald's probably since like 2001.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't.
Well, I think I do love this headline I found about this from today.com that says, the biggest fast food chain is making a big change to its baked goods lineup, and while customers aren't loving it.
It sounds like you wrote that, Jonah.
I know. So, yeah, I guess some customers are upset about this. I mean, to me...
they're like, bummer.
Nice.
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at photos of these. I don't know. An apple fritter, a blueberry muffin. I find it hard to find a muffin I like these days. And I guarantee you this one from McDonald's is probably so sweet. And
okay.
I don't know. To me, it's like I would never order this stuff. I don't think we need it. As the kids today would say, you know, I think apple fritters just hit different when they're coming from McDonald's made by like all artificial ingredients. So I'm gonna not feeling this one. Vanessa, what about you?
Yeah, my first instinct is like the kind of elitist in me wants to be like, don't get your baked goods from McDonald's. Like you can do better, everybody. But I also understand that, you know, sometimes you're in a rush, you want a baked good, you know, and also maybe you don't live somewhere where there's, you know, a place where you can get other things like that. So again, I think this is hard because it sounds like the three of us didn't know that this ever existed.
Yeah. And also, I don't know why my brain went from like baked goods just to like desserts.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I went straight to but now that I'm thinking of like fast food, like baked goods,
like they can't be making this stuff. Like they're not making.
No. Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. It's like, didn't they used to have apple pie or something?
They used to have those apple pies. I remember they had, and they came in like a little like skinny box.
Yeah.
And they would like heat them. I remember sort of liking them as a kid, but like those are complete, you know, garbage as a kid. But I remember those being good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It doesn't seem like these are like those little skinny box apple pies. Yeah.
No, I think this is trying to compete more with like Starbucks and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel super bummed about this one going away, but I also, you know, according to that article, people are not loving it. So that's something to consider.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, Jonah, do you want to read this next one, which there are so many articles about? People are so shocked. This news just broke that this is being discontinued. Yeah,
this news just broke. This isn't even in the CNN Business article.
Okay. Yeah.
Fruit Stripe gum is being discontinued after more than 50 years. Food and Wine magazine reported the gum's manufacturer, Farrar Candy, said they'll discontinue it. Farrar Candy did not respond to USA Today's request for comment, but in a statement told Food and Wine, we have made the difficult decision to sunset Fruit Stripe gum.
Sunset.
The company added they did not take the decision lightly and considered many factors coming to this decision, including consumer preferences and purchasing patterns. I mean, can we just talk about the fact that they said we have made the difficult decision to sunset Fruit Stripe gum?
Yeah. Also, how are they getting, like, how are they getting space in Food and Wine? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they should be, I feel like their article should be in, like, you know, Convenience Store Magazine monthly or something. Like, Food and Wine seems a little, like,
or
sort
you
of.
Or just a sign up at the drugstore that said Fruit Stripe gum is no longer available.
Yeah. It seems generous for Food and Wine to be like, let me give you guys space to speak on discontinuing this.
Well, yeah, and then the flowery poetic language about sunset. It's like you can say you're discontinuing it. It's yeah. You know, it's like we get it. It's gum. Zora, what do you think about Fruit Stripe gum being discontinued after 50 years?
I don't miss it. I didn't like it. Yeah. I felt like they were appropriating zebras when I was a kid. I was like, this is, you guys were, I remember them using like a zebra in their thing. I don't miss it. I remember it being a gum that was sort of like, it would taste good for a minute, not even a minute, like 10 seconds. So I don't miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Vanessa, what about you?
Well, it's funny because this gum just came up in the episode we did with Carrie and Corin when we were talking about Juicy Fruit gum.
Juicy Fruit with Slater Kinney. Yes.
To me, I'll be honest, I didn't know it still was out. Like, I didn't know you could still get it for sure. But maybe we on the podcast, someone said you can still get it. But my issue always with Fruit Stripe gum was it wasn't, I don't remember it being very, as a kid, I don't remember it being very tasty. Like,
yeah,
it's sort of, I'll say this. I don't really care how my gum looks. I more care how it tastes. And I feel right. like with Fruit Stripe gum, the whole gimmick was that it looks like it's got zebra stripes. And I'm going, it's going in my mouth no matter what. And I don't really care, you know, that it has zebra stripes.
Right. Yeah, it's condescending. As a kid, you're just like, oh, it's like, oh, you're going to make this thing look cool, but you're not going to do the work to make it taste good?
Yeah. Give me the freshest, fruitiest flavor and make it last for a long time. And then I'll buy your fucking gum.
Yeah.
If you're just going to put little zebra stripes on it, guess what? It's going to be sunsetted.
Guess what? It's going to be sunsetted. And to use fucking starry language, you're not being true to fruit.
Wow.
That's right. Wow. That's right. You're not being true to fruit.
Wow.
Jonah, what do you think? Do you think they played themselves?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I do. I want to say that they did have a logo, a zebra. The zebra's name was Yipes.
Okay.
And Yipes was sort of the mascot. Yipes would skateboard, play baseball, hang glide, play soccer, and playing tennis and eating grass.
Well,
so this
you know
is
what?
All stuff. Yeah.
Maybe if that zebra had an African accent, because that zebra didn't seem like it was a real zebra.
Yeah.
To me, other than being multicolored.
Yeah.
But I didn't buy it. I didn't buy that zebra.
Not for 1 second. Also, zebras can't really skateboard. Go ahead, Jonah.
there's a family of striped animals, zebra, tiger, elephant, and a mouse, but then they kind of just consolidated it all into Yipes, the zebra, Yipes, Stripes, Fruit Stripe. That was a song. Yeah, to me, it's like,
oh yeah.
If someone offered me a piece of Fruit Stripe gum, I would be like, no, and like, why? Like, why do you have that? I feel like I'm just going to have to go straight to the dentist or something.
Also, did the song go like this? Yipes, Stripes, Fruit Stripe gum. Is that how it went?
That's it, yeah.
Did it really go that way?
Yes, it really did go like that. It really did go like that.
Do you remember it, Jonah?
I do. Yeah.
It really went like that. But also, not that catchy. Kind of surprised I remember it. That's where they played themselves.
That's where they played themselves. Just if a kid had Fruit Stripe, you were like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like if someone had like fruit by the foot. No, you want me to like rip you off like 6 inches of gum? I'd be like, nah, I'm good. Like, get I'm going to eat this sandwich.
I'm going to get this Bubblicious.
Yeah. Okay?
Well, that's what I was just going to say. In this age of, there's a lot of brands, we're all competing. If you're going to give me a fun, cool kid gum, give me Bubblicious, give me Bubble Yum. Don't give me Fruit Stripe gum, because you know what I'm going to say? Yikes, stripes, not interested.
Not interested. Give me that Charleston Chew, that like weird thing that was
that weird
like
candy
mimicking.
That's real hard. Yeah.
Well, it was like mimicking chewing tobacco. Like
that's
Big League Chew.
Big League Chew.
Yeah, I think Charleston Chews are like kind of a harder caramel
that's
candy.
What it was. Yeah, that's
which
what
also delish. Give me that too. I'll take
that too. Give me that too.
That doesn't sound bad.
So now we all have to decide which company played themselves the most. Is it Sierra Mist, McDonald's for getting rid of McCafe sweets, or is it Fruit Stripe gum? Mm.
And just to clarify, just because this almost seems counterintuitive, the thing that you're picking is the thing you want to bring back.
Oh, right. The thing you miss the most.
The thing you'd want to bring back the most, not the company. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're the most mad at the company because they played themselves for getting rid of it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Counterintuitive. It is.
I think I'm gonna stick with the thing that I jumped on immediately, breaking the rules of the game, which was Sierra Mist / Starry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they played themselves because it's hard to compete against Sprite, but I feel like I knew Sierra Mist is sort of this like scrappy thing, and I would be rooting for it to have some sort of comeback. If you had maybe like a cool campaign with Keke Palmer, you know, doing her thing, I'd be like, oh, okay, Sierra Mist, like,
yeah,
you know, I would tend to maybe root for Sierra Mist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they played themselves.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree 100% with Zora. I think like a metaphor for this would be like, let's say I had a car and my neighbor had a car and their car ran way better than mine. And I was like, I need to improve my car. I guess I'll just like paint it a different color.
Right.
Like you're not getting to the thought of, and maybe I'm like adding like a new like decorative thing on my steering wheel. It's like you're just kind of changing the name of something, but you're not doing the work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that it doesn't really change anything. So to me, it's like you get the smartest marketing guys in there, they come up with a name, they come up with these little lemon lime dudes. But to me, it's like they're not doing the work, and I don't think it's going to last. Vanessa, what about you?
I agree with both of you, although I will say this. I do think they've worked on the flavor a little bit. I do think there's a difference, and I'd like to try it before I really tell them they play themselves, although I will tell them they play themselves right now. But I guess my thing is like, I feel like, exactly, they could have done Sierra Mist now with a bold new flavor, you know, and then get Keke Palmer in there and get, just like you said, like, I feel like just going with a whole new name and a whole new brand, it's, you know, I think, unfortunately, even without trying it, I gotta say, I think they played themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because you know what other soda make did the same thing? That rebranded themselves, that was in a distant second the entire time, Pepsi.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They're like, Hey, Cindy Crawford, get over here and drink this thing and make everyone obsess over it. And that's what they did. But they didn't do that. And so Keke Palmer could have been their Cindy
Crawford.
Right.
That's right.
It's true. Where does 7-Up fit in this? Because 7-Up kind of seems like
Everyone's acting like 7-Up doesn't exist. Everyone's being like, Sprite.
Right.
They want to compete with Sprite. It's like, also, this article is kind of rude. It's like 7-Up much?
I know. Is there a game named after Sprite? Yeah. No, but there is
Heads
one
Up,
named 7-Up? After...
Ever heard of it?
Yeah, ever heard of it? Like, throughout your entire elementary school is the funnest game. You guys probably played it a lot because you were in Cleveland and you had like a lot of snowy.
I remember playing a lot of 7-Up as a kid.
Because we got it, maybe there was like a week or something where there was like some intense storm in Northern California. And I was like, oh my God, we get to play Heads Up 7-Up. But I couldn't imagine living in a place with like real weather.
Everybody puts their head down on the desk and someone's standing at the front of the room. And what's the point of the game again?
They touch your head and then you have to guess who did it, who kind of tapped you.
Okay.
Well, the way we would play it is they would touch your thumb.
Yeah.
Your thumb. They would touch our heads. We'd have to put our head down and they would touch the top of our head.
Really?
Yeah. I think probably as times changed, they were like, don't touch people's. Oh, our producer Olivia said Olivia she did the thumb version too. Ours was 100% your head. And can I be honest? I kind of prefer head because you don't want kids have such dirty hands. Like,
yeah, I agree because I remember like the asshole kids would like hit your thumb like really hard. So it was like this, it was like this sort of fear that if you got picked and you had like a mean kid that your thumb would get like sort of jammed. I just remember being like, it had this like danger of...
It sounds like the opposite of a fun game.
Olivia, I don't know, Olivia probably remembers.
The thing is, she does remember it. The thing is, hitting your head, and no one would hit your head hard, I don't think, although maybe people did and I just never experienced that.
No, I don't think that
happened. It feels like, and I think with the teacher watching, it'd be a lot harder to hit someone's head hard, whereas like someone's thumb, you could do it without someone noticing. But God, those are probably the same kids in Battle Ball who are just like whipping the ball. It's like, can those kids?
Same kids.
You know what those kids did? They played themselves.
They absolutely played themselves.
Hates them,
yeah. still.
Well, Zora, this has been so much fun. Where can people find you other than in front of Starry going, who's getting this?
Who's getting this? Because I'm not.
Yeah.
And we're not. I'm on Instagram at Zora Pecan Gaga, my full name. Not on Twitter. If you want to hear the whole story, like you can, about my prank, it's just Google Zora, This American Life.
Right. Right. You tell the whole
thing. So you can listen. If you want like the extended version, obviously listen to it here because this is breaking.
Thank
here.
You so much. No, but it is, if people want to hear really an in-depth version of it, I listened to it on This American Life, to you talking about it. And it's very interesting and fun to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to see me do freestyle rap improv, come to UCB.
Great. Great. You want to do a little bit right now?
I <You don't>. Would... If you want to throw me a beat, no, I can't. I can only do it on stage.
I kind of did that to you on purpose to like put you on the spot. Uh-huh. But it was
we always make fun of musical improv too. It's like I remember in I Love That For Your Room, just knowing that we both have done sort of a version of it, but and know how embarrassing it is, but it's also so fun.
Just like teaching a bunch of kids that like the way you do musical improv is like it's really good to think of the second word you're going to say so you can rhyme the first word with the second word, and I always was just horrible at it.
It's a lot of brain math, and I'm sort of, again, this is back to trying to be cool. It's like this is me still trying to be like Tupac, but what's my version of being Tupac? Is doing freestyle rap improv.
Well, Zora, I guarantee you're a lot better at acting like Tupac than I am, because when I get out there and I'm trying to do any kind of musical or rapping improv, I look like an absolute moron.
I would love to see it.
It'll happen. Well, that was so much fun. Thanks so much to Zora for joining us and everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird? We will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones, like trying to be cool. Thank you so much, Zora.
Thanks, Zora.